Welcome to the State of America Road Report. With your hosts, David Hudson and Ian Rice. Let's get started.
All right, all right.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the State of America Road Report Revisited. We've got a very special one here for you. We've got producer Jason and our good friend Sean Hillman checking in from the Chicago show at the Aragon Ballroom. Now, as many of you may know, we did have another one of our SOA meetups right before this show. So Jason and Sean kind of recap that a little bit, talk about that before they get into the details of the show. By all accounts, this was a great show, and Jason and Sean really do a great job of summing it up. So I'm going to get out of the way, and I'm going to let them get to it. But before I do that, I really want to take a minute to thank each and every one of you that showed up to the SOA meetup. It really means a lot to all of us. A lot of planning goes into these meetups, and Jason and Sean did a wonderful job, but it wouldn't have been possible without everybody that showed up and showed the podcast a little bit of support. It was great to see everybody, and I know even though we weren't there, it made David and I so happy to see the great, great turnout at Fat Cats. So again, thank you all so much. And I can't wait to see some of you in New York. Stay tall, everybody.
All right, everybody. Hey, this is producer Jason here. I'm here with the super sexy Sean Hillman.
Hello, hello.
As we wrap up our night, we finished the show and got some tacos.
Taco Maya.
That's right. That was good. So now we're going to record just a little bit recapping the show. First of all, Sean, we met up at Fat Cat.
Yes.
And had a bunch of friends turn up, man.
Holy moly. We had an excellent pregame for the show. At least 30 people showed up for our State of America pregame. There may have been more. We don't know. It was typical Chicago. It was chaotic.
Yes.
Very disorganized and yet fun at the same time, which is what this city is all about.
Got to meet a lot of people. It was the first time I had met Justin Kahn. I know you had met him before. Justin Fry came.
Yeah.
We had Jason Johannes there with friends. Obviously, Jeff Massey and
Sleepy Joe was there.
Sleepy Joe was there. Yeah, Brittany.
Yeah,
got to meet Brittany there.
We had a couple people meet up too that just saw word of mouth of this on Facebook, mm-hmm. which was great. So, yeah. Thank you to anybody and everybody that listens and came out to the pre-gathering, the pre-show meetup. It was such a great time, and we're thankful for it.
It was awesome. There was one slight problem. In that my car got towed.
Yeah, just a bit.
So
it's not a full Chicago experience if you don't get towed, Jason.
No, I guess not. And I had been parked in this spot for like 2 hours, and we finished all the giveaways and stuff. I had a few things I had to box back up and ship to people because they couldn't bring with them. So I went and put that in your backpack in the car.
Yeah.
And that apparently triggered the camera. As soon as I stepped off property, they came and swiped it. They took my car. So I had to go bail it out of the clink.
It's not a full Chicago experience if you're not towed at least once while you're here. Yeah, so, you know, so I'm glad you had a well-rounded
I did. Yes, conflict. I enjoyed the guy in the clink car release hallway who was a delightful man.
We're all about hospitality here, but enough about that. Jason, we talked about the pregame, talk about the show itself.
Yeah. So, we got in there in time. We were able to get in there and get a beverage and work our way up. Now you and I are on different sides of the stage. So you're going to get two different, perspectives, Sean and Justin and Sleepy Joe for a hot minute. It's over on the right side. And me and Johannes and the crew that we came with were over on the left side. We were in front of Sven. And so first things first, the opening band came out. They're local group Gliders.
Yeah.
Didn't know anything about them. I thought that they were absolutely amazing. They were great. They played really good. They sound really good. They play like this, I don't know, like it's jammy, which is good, but it's like a repetitive sort of groovy style jam thing. Like,
yeah,
Oasis-ish, maybe?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, definitely a tribute to jam bands. Not a lot of whole, you know, vocals going on there.
Yeah,
for sure. But they were tight. They were tight. They were and good. I think a couple of us had noted at the post game that the bass player and drums were particularly tight.
So yeah, she was solid. Bass player was super solid. And then the drummer who ended up, so he ended up standing by us when he came out after he had finished his set. So he was standing over on our side by us. But yeah, I think they were very groovy and lots of cool riffs, and I really enjoyed it. I think I'll check them out.
Yeah,
some
it was,
more.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
So then we were blessed with a very, very short break, and they got everything set up, and the Black Crowes came out, and I would say came out with a fury.
Yeah, the one thing that I thought was weird, you could tell the place was buzzing when the It's a Long Way to the Top. You know, came out
the walkout song.
Yeah, but then there was like all the like vocal banter that it's sort of like at one point, like someone around me was like, "Okay, let's go."
You know?
So I wish they would probably kill that, but yeah, but they came out, you know, as we figured they would. Bedside Manners right out of the gate. I thought they crushed it. That song is so good, and I'm glad I got to see it live. It's a great track.
You got two extremes here. You had the opening skit, which was painful. You had Bedside Banners followed by Rats and Clowns. Mm-hmm. So you got two off the new album right off the bat. And then they went back to Twice as Hard. So at this point, you're like, okay, can you give me something in between? It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And they followed it up doing just that with Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah, and I thought Chris's banter was good. He was very playful with the crowd. And before this bit was probably the first time he really, and I had posted it in the thread. You know, he's very talkative with the crowd. And then he went into to this one, and I thought it rocked. I thought it was great. I thought the crowd reacted to it great. This was the point where he said, this is from a record called Three Snakes, and the crowd cheered. And he said something about when they were in Canada, he had to explain it three times.
Yeah. That was great. The other thing I want to note about these opening, I would say three or four tracks, is that the thing I noticed about Chris is that he wasn't using the teleprompter.
Yeah. Well, I noticed that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was actually into it and more energized than I've seen him on stage in years, which was very refreshing. And I felt like I was getting a full performance. So I just wanted to take note of that.
Yeah. I thought that was a good, that was a good note. Yeah. He felt like, and he was up in the front of the stage. He was going from side to side on the stage in those two and interacting with the crowd, which was great. I thought the Treat of the Evening though came next when they hit that heavy riff into Horsehead.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was so great. And I don't know if they had played that or how much they played that, but that was definitely a treat. That was a surprise.
Yeah, the only thing I was remiss about with Horsehead was the actual statement that they were wishing peace upon other people that had been through the band. And I'm at the point now, and I don't care who hears this, I'm at the point now where I'm just done with shitting on ex-band members.
Mm.
So Horsehead was a statement about that, and Chris made it known that it was. But the song itself was great. I was on stage rich side. So it was a little bit harder for me to hear in the mix. I was about two rows deep. And so it was a little hard. But overall, when the song got going, it was good. You can tell that this was new territory for some of the members.
Mm, yep. So then we head out of that into Cross Your Fingers. And this is the first time in the text thread that And I don't know, you guys, when we were at, you know, having our tacos, you had mentioned how it was hard to hear, at least really distinguish the things that were happening on the other side of the stage, being on the rich side of the stage. And this was the first time in the text thread I had posted how much I could really see Nico making a contribution. And then, you know, so for Cross Your Fingers, they've taken out a little bit of, like, it still felt like maybe there was an overplay loop or something. Like, it didn't sound natural to me.
Yeah.
But I did notice how much Sven really just was plucking the crap out of that bass on that song.
Well, Cross Your Fingers, I believe, should have been an instrumental from the beginning. So that's my hot take. But yeah, it was definitely, I felt like it was forced at times.
Yeah, that one seemed weird.
Yeah.
Something was off with that. But then we got a treat. He introduced it as, you know, I think he felt like he was trying to see which records he could name check and see if the crowd reacted. So the next one was War Paint, which went into what I thought was a fantastic version of Oh Joe. I posted the coda on the text thread. It was a solid 2 minute, nice. You know, it's probably not the 5 or 6 minute jam we'd get back in the day, but I mean, they played that thing out pretty solid. I thought it was a good little jam.
Josephine to me was the highlight of the show, and it was early. It was in the first half, but it was new territory for some of the members, and it was a great quote unquote deep cut for some casual fans, and I was really excited to see it, and it sounded great.
It did. Yep. So the first sort of really left field surprise we got was they played a new cover. It's not necessarily new. They played it before, and they played it during the Jimmy Page tour as well, but they came out with what Chris called a Yardbird song that was written by Jimmy Page, and we got Shapes of Things.
Yeah.
Super unique. I mean, we're the first one to get that.
I will say from my side, from the stage rich side, the mix was not good. So I was hoping for more out of this one because I recognized the tune. So I'm hoping it sounded better where you were. How was it?
Yeah, it sounded pretty good. And again, this is another spot where Nico got to do some stuff. But in general, I was, again, like, you know, we're sitting here on, what, 2 days after Dickie Betts dies.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we got to talk about is I don't remember which song it was. I have to look. But he came out at one point and he talked about all of his dreams. They were talking about their dreams. Might have been before Wanting, Waiting. I don't remember.
No, I think it was the next song.
It was before Thorn?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll just move to that. So with Shapes of Things being played, my problem was is obviously you were going to introduce a brand new cover.
Yeah.
That you haven't played before. You've had 3 days off. Dickie Betts passes away. There's nothing in your mind that goes, okay, I know we're going to do Shapes of Things, but we're going to pull that and drop something, Allman Brothers. And then he even teases the dreams thing before Thorn, right? And then we have the whole bit before Hard to Handle, which
I had a musical heart on going at this point. He talks dreams and he mentions it by name. And I'm like, okay, holy shit, it's about to happen. And not that I'm sad when I realize, and because Chris talks too much, you knew it was going to be Thorn.
Yeah.
Before Rich starts doing the chords. But there was just that moment where I was like, oh my God, we're going to get it.
We got two huge teases without the payoff, really.
So I wouldn't say that made Thorn in My Pride a disappointment.
No. Yeah. And I would tell you quite honestly, I thought Thorn was awesome.
They did a good job.
And what I put flex, in the thread, I'm like, this is the Black Rose.
Yeah.
They I mean, that song was 6-7 minutes at least.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's not the 13 minute version we've had in the past, but
yeah.
They jammed that freaking hard, and Chris came out on the harp and did the whole harmonica jam, and it kicked right in fast. Yeah, and the crowd reacted great.
Yeah,
like I think they're starting to see, like, yeah, you know, we could use a little bit more of this.
The thing I like about playing Chicago shows is the Crows seem to know that there's a certain energy that's expected here, and they give it back, which is great. And Thorn in My Pride was a perfect example of that. They could sense it. They gave it back immediately. They let the guys flex a little bit. Nico got a little bit. Yeah. Rich got a little bit. Chris on the harp, as you said. So that was another highlight of the show for me.
That was a highlight for me. I was very impressed with the Thorn, for sure. So then we go into like the single sequence, right? Wanting and Waiting, Hard to Handle. She talks to Angels. What I can say, for at least from our side of the stage, two things. Hard to Handle is the other time that he teased the Allman Brother thing and didn't pay it off, because he's talking about all these bands from Georgia, you know, and even says the phrase Allman Brothers in his little thing. And then he goes into the Otis Redding bit.
Good job.
No offense to Otis Redding. That dude's amazing. But like, again, like, everyone's on the edge of what are you going to do? And he again, after the Dreams thing earlier, and now this time the bands from Georgia bit. And
Chris Robinson snatching defeat from the jaws of victory once again. So and credits to Steve Gorman for that quote.
There you go.
But that was it was good.
The crowd was into those songs.
The crowd
they
was
were
in,
singing it.
Yeah, for sure. So he goes into Wanting and Waiting, which was, I think, a banger. I think they did a good job.
Awesome. Yeah.
And the thing about, so the next three songs are Wanting and Waiting, Hard to Handle, and She Talks to Angels. And say what you will, but these are singles that they're pushing hard. The great thing of, that you get with Chris Robinson in these shows is that he has freedom to move about the stage and actually perform, instead of standing still and reading a teleprompter. And I've been at plenty of shows where that has happened too.
Sure.
So the fact that he can get out and engage and make the most of those songs, I thought was good. And then they follow those three up with Flesh Wound off of the new album too. So
which we know is a David favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. David. So they were thinking of you.
They were. And honestly, it sounded great. And I thought the crowd responded to it really great too. And you would think it would have been one of their singles, really, the way that I felt like the crowd reacted
to. I like Flesh Wound, and I like the vulnerability of the band to actually perform it, because it is not an easy song.
No.
And that's why you haven't seen it every
And we were talking about this earlier too when we were eating our tacos. The bit where like he comes out and he says the verse, and then it's the okay. That came off way better live.
Yeah.
You know, and it looked like, you know, Sven and Nico and Rich, who all are kind of in the ladies up top, which we didn't comment about that, but we'll come back to that in a second. I thought it really added to, like, obviously they're having fun, you know, up there just grooving it. So I thought that worked really great. And I like that song too.
Yeah, I thought so too. And then they end up, you know, that was the end of the, we'll call it the work portion of the evening, because they round out the evening with three, we'll call them familiar tunes, Sting Me, Jealous Again, and Remedy. Any highlights from those?
So for me, the highlight was Jealous Again. I thought Jealous Again was fantastic. They extended the end coda just a little bit. I mean, you wouldn't call it a jam, but they added a little extra sauce to it, I think, to come out, which was really great. I thought all three of them sounded great. Again, crowd reacted quite well to all of them. So obviously crowd pleasers to head out, which I think, like you said, in this day and age, they probably got to do that. And a lot of people are going to go home and they're going to be like, oh my goodness, I saw this Black Rose show. They played all these songs I know. And they probably really enjoy it. To lure the casual fan in, it was well done. And like I said, they added a little, even going back to, Twice as Hard, you know, they added a couple of measures in there at the end.
Yeah, right? For sure. Just,
you know, it's not a jam, obviously, that we're used to, but both with Twice as Hard and with Jealous Again, they added a little bit of sauce at the end. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, they did. I think they did a great job of making the most out of they could of numbers that they've done for the past 3-4 years repetitively and still keeping them fresh. So it was encouraging to see. Rich didn't look like he was bored with them or too tired of them, which was good. I will say this. The regular set ended with Remedy. I have seen Remedy open shows. I have seen Remedy close shows. I've seen Remedy done with a lot of energy. And I've seen Remedy done with afterthought energy, I'll call it. And I would take tonight's performance towards the latter. I would call it reserved energy. Mm. So that was unfortunate for me. I wish they would have ended with a little bit more energy on that, but it was overall, if you're looking at the set list like we are now, you're like, that's a pretty good show.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Then we have the encore. And what did you think of Kindred Friend being the encore?
Well, I like the tune. I'm torn because I know expectations are a problem, but I was going into this show, and I think a lot of us were, where we have a circumstantial, pretty big deal in terms of the Dickie Betts thing, which we talked about. They've had 3 days off. We've talked about many of the tracks that seem like they should be a staple in the sets that they haven't hit on yet. And we're all kind of casting lots as to which one maybe we would get because they've had plenty of time to work it out.
Yep.
And so the hope was maybe they would come out and give us something special. And again, Kindred Friend is a good song. I like the song, but I don't think that was the sort of the bang we were looking for. Like, we were looking for something memorable.
Agreed. And I will say, as a connoisseur of Chicago shows, I was surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I thought with 3 days off, with them coming to Chicago, I think that this has been a special place for them in the past. I was expecting more. Yeah. Not that Kindred Friend was bad, but I was like, oh. And I know we're only going to get one encore. So right. It was kind of a double whammy. It's like, you know, this is it. You know, this is the end. So they stuck true to form. Yeah. They know what they're contracted to play and what they're going to do. And they come out and they do it. I felt like we got a few gems here that we haven't seen in shows before. So I was happy for that. Mm-hmm. I think overall it was a great show. The Aragon always has an energy that sometimes is good. That sometimes is, you know, that's the Aragon. Your feet are going to stick to the floor, and by God, you're going to see 3 or 4 people get kicked out before the end of the night. But general admission shows in Chicago, that's what you're getting. But the other thing I want to say is that our little pregame meetup that we had at Fat Cats, we had probably 30, 40 people there. And it was just such an overwhelming positive response to what David and Ian and you are doing on the show mm-hmm. with State of America and just the positive energy that we're trying to throw around this band. So it was great. It was great to meet everybody. And thank you to all that came out and participated and got hopefully are happy with their giveaways that we sent them home with.
Well, and I got to tell you, like going back to that, you know, all of the, I guess, Twitter attachments and name tags and everything had my name on it, but more people knew who Sexy Sean was than me by far.
Let's I guess my reputation preceded me. There may or may not be pictures.
Like every people we meet, they're like, oh, you're Sexy Sean. And I'm like, hi, I'm producer Jason. Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. I'm like, well, he's actually the reason why you hear the show, but yeah, sure. Fawn over me. That's fun.
Can we get a picture with you, Sexy Sean?
Yeah. I my apologies in advance to people that come with more expectation.
He was a superstar. And he did great. You know, we did the giveaways and we're trying to think of how we want to do it. And then Sean
just stood up and started shouting.
Stands up in a chair.
Like, all right, you rats and clowns, we're gonna give away something.
Yeah. First Canadians in here.
First Here's girl to look at me is going to get something. And of course it worked. It was great.
It was awesome. Yeah. Yeah. But we got so many thank yous. A lot of people who knew about the pod.
Yeah.
And were grateful to get the giveaways. But I talked to a lot of people that didn't know that the pod exists. So,
yeah.
And they were like, oh shoot, we should sign up for that. So
it was a good blend. I had people like, hey, I listened to the show. I'm here because of it. And I'm like, yeah. I'm okay. All right, great.
Good.
And it was great. And then other people were like, what? Yeah. What is the show?
There's a Black Crowes podcast?
Yeah. So, and I wore my shirt. You can't see it now. I have my concert shirt on, but
right.
I wore my shirt advertising the State of America podcast on my back. So at least 2 people were exposed to
it. So as you turn around and watch the ladies get escorted out that were by you?
Yeah, yeah. And they know that guy with the State of America podcast shirt got me
turned you in.
So I'm here to serve in many facets, folks.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So all in all, great time.
Yeah. Always a good time.
Awesome meeting people. Awesome seeing friends of ours and reconnecting and good rock and roll show. So
come see a concert in Chicago. You guys will not be sorry.
And go see the Crows. Yeah. You will not be sorry.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. State of America podcast. Sean and Jason, we're signing off.
Stay tall, everybody.